What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 19 of the Chat New England podcast. Nick LaRocque back here with you after a two-week hiatus. And as always, I am joined by Ben Babcock. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. Not a whole lot. I was just trying to recall how long it had been. And I guess 2 weeks is right because we were off before the bye week and then leading up to last weekend's game. So 2 weeks, it feels like a lifetime. I got to say. Man, so I don't even know which number podcast this is, like 16 or something, 15?
19.
19, jeez.
I know, man.
I lose my touch, dude. You lose a couple games in a row, next thing you know, your whole world's upside down.
I mean, next week is the big one, number 20.
Yes, next week is a big one. But, 19's not so bad in and of itself. You know, one podcast at a time, as they say.
Yeah, that's true. And I predict that this is going to be an elite podcast.
Oh, all right. All right. Just setting the bar high. So
elite podcast. I expect elite performances because you and I are elite podcasters.
I think we can say that. Yeah.
And of course, I'm using that word because it drives me fucking crazy. And I've complained about this in the media a few times. This whole thing, the whole story with Eli Manning at the beginning of the year, answering the question, does he think he's an elite quarterback, saying yes, which, you know, I'd like him to say. And now suddenly, you know, Giants beat the Patriots, and now this word is all over the headlines. It's in all the stories. He's an elite quarterback. That was an elite drive.
And those were my words.
Well, it's also all over the newspapers, elite quarterback. That's what everyone's saying. And I'm thinking to myself, guy's been great all year. Best QB rating in the league in the fourth quarter especially. That's his fifth game-winning drive. Been playing great all year. And secondly, you know, they're saying he won up Tom Brady. Well, you know what? And I mean no offense by this. He's got a much better team around him than Tom Brady has at the moment. And so, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, I shouldn't get upset because this is what the media always does. They oversimplify things. But, you know, I think we have to start there, right? We got to start with this game that was played on Sunday afternoon.
Absolutely. And it was a great game, I got to say. But before people get too excited about the Giants beating the Patriots, I think the last couple of weeks has severely exposed New England. I don't think they're as good as people have certainly thought they were at points this season, and maybe even going forward. I think after this loss, you got to reevaluate some expectations for the rest of the season. But I won't take anything away from Eli, because that was an elite drive at the end of the game, on the road, needing a touchdown to win. And, you know, it's the same old story. We've seen this one before, right? So a guy who's gone out, and even though people on paper won't let him, you know, won't compare him to Brady or put him in the same breath, when they're on the same field together, this guy's not bad, you know? And he goes out and he beats the Patriots. That's what I got to say. I don't even know where to start. It was a great game. I loved it. I loved the back and forth in the first half. The second half was exciting. But like I said, at least for me personally, I'm just left with an overwhelming sense of dread and despair for the rest of the season going forward after this loss. And, the Giants are a good team. It's not like they lost to Kansas City or somebody. I'm just a little bit at a loss as a way to process what's going on here. And, this season has kind of a microscope of the last 4 or 5 years here with this team, and really looking ahead to the future. We're in a period of transition, man, and it's not going to be pretty, and it isn't pretty for New England Patriots fans right now.
Okay, this is 2 straight losses. And, this second one being at home where Patriots had won 20 consecutive regular season games. Tom Brady, I think they said, had won like 31 consecutive regular season home starts. But at the same time, you look at these last 2 weeks. Steelers are a good team, right? They're 5-3 now, I believe. Very easily could have been 6-2 had it not been for that Joe Flacco drive at the end of Sunday night. Giants are 6-2, appear to be much better than people were thinking them to be at the start of the year. Now you guys have the Jets this weekend, already have one win under your belt against them. I mean, if the Patriots go out and win that game, I could see the case that this is not a big deal. They're still looking good for the division. Things are still on course. But you seem to feel like...
No, I don't feel good about it at all. First of all, they have had a tendency to split with New York over the past couple years. And this game is in New York. I just feel like the Jets are the team on the rise. The Patriots are the team sinking fast. And even if the Patriots beat New York in New York this weekend, I don't think they can beat them in the playoffs. Their track record in the last 4 years in the playoffs has just been that, they don't show up and these other teams come and smack them in the mouth. And this is symptomatic of the losses to Pittsburgh and to New York the last couple of weeks. Those are the kind of games that the Patriots have lost in the playoffs over the last couple of years. And, they could go out and win next weekend in New York, and everybody might be excited. The schedule gets really easy after that from week 10 on, actually. With the exception of Philadelphia, maybe, which is a team that, still worries me a little bit, even despite their record. But they've got Kansas City, Philadelphia, Indianapolis, Washington, Denver, Miami, and then Buffalo Bills in week 17 at home. So, it's a very favorable stretch of games coming up after this New York game, but I just don't feel it, man. I've been trying to think of a way to express this in an objective way all day. I've been thinking about it, what kind of statistical analysis can I use to support these feelings that I have? And I really can't come up with anything concrete. So to all the listeners out there who want me to actually have some legitimate support for my opinions, I can't give that to you today. All I just have, man, is just sick feeling, like when you're watching one of the old Halloween movies and everybody's like, oh, Michael Myers is gone. He's not gone. He's in the fucking closet, man. And he's going to cut that bitch right up. And I'm telling you what, this Patriots team is worse shape than people can even imagine right now. They're falling apart. They've got some serious weaknesses that any decent team is going to be able to expose in a playoff situation. Brady can't do it by himself. And the fucking travesty of this whole thing is that in the last 4 years, this team has gotten, they've gotten nowhere in the postseason, and they've just witnessed 4 of the best years of the best quarterback that this franchise will ever have. And they have nothing to show for it. And it's not going to get any better because they just haven't been able to bring in anybody on defense in particular to make that team good enough to go deep into the playoffs. And on offense, if he struggles at all, if he throws more than one interception in a game, say, they just can't win, you know. And it's sad, man. It's sad to see that, and then to put it in the perspective of, you know, Brady's 34 years old. You know, what we have to prepare ourselves for is his decline. You know, he's played out of his mind for the last 3 or 4 years, and they have nothing to show for it. You know, they've got no championships to show for it. And, you know, you just start to get this sinking feeling that, you know, this era is going to come to an end, and then there's going to be huge question marks as to what comes next. And, you know, I just don't feel good about the condition of the team right now as it stands.
Yeah, I mean, it's I do have to say, I mean, he's still having a great year. And, you know, even when he was leading them down the field at the end of the game Sunday, I mean, that, you know, that in itself was an impressive drive that nobody is talking about because of the drive that followed it. But
absolutely.
He and Welker in particular, I mean, the way they moved down the field, and all I could think about was, this is just like the fucking game they had against Dallas, right? Brady, yep. You know, it's questionable. It's up in the air. Brady drives him down at the end of the game and wins the game because he's just that good, and he's able to raise the level of play of everyone around him so much. But the offense, to me, I mean, he had a great game. Actually, I mean, it was a poor game for him, his 75 passer rating, but Welker had a great game. You know, he really gets a lot out of the backs. But, God, that defense is just...
They haven't played a complete game all season, and that's exactly what we saw. They played a great first half. You know, they gave up some big plays, but they were able to dig themselves out of holes. And then that last drive, that is exactly the situation where a championship team can come up and make a play. A team has to go 80 yards in a minute and 15 seconds, and they could not stop them. And you had two terrible pass interference calls, not terrible because they're bad calls, but just terrible plays. Arrington, I'll give a little bit of a pass for, but fucking Sergio Brown running into Cruz in the end zone. I think it was Cruz. Mm-hmm. He's got to be the worst free safety in the NFL. The safety play, I've been saying it all year, is maybe the biggest hole in this entire Patriots defense. It's been awful. They haven't been able to find anybody. They just put another guy on injured reserve to end the season. So Sergio Brown's going to be your starting free safety going forward with nobody else to back him up. They haven't replaced Merriweather. They haven't drafted anybody. Chung is, I think, being exposed as a decent run-stopping strong safety, but a mediocre to subpar pass-covering safety. And this is where they're getting killed because they can't make a play downfield. They can't make a play on the ball. The lack of safety help over the top has hung out their cornerbacks to dry all year long. I mean, all year long. And that was just a perfect example, you know, in a little capsule. That was the problem. It's a free safety who just runs into a receiver who has no chance of catching the ball on the 1 yard line. And there goes the game. I mean, that was it. I mean, I don't want to take a lot of stuff away from what New York did on that drive because they made some great plays. Ballard made, you know, a huge catch down the middle after taking a couple nasty shots in the first half that you would have thought would have shortened his arms quite a bit going forward in that game. But no, man, I just don't have any faith in this team, and I don't think they have any faith in themselves. I really don't. I think when they win, I think there's a little bit of a sigh of relief, and I think everybody knows that it all rides on Brady's shoulders, and Brady makes everybody around him better. That's clearly obvious, but they have a lot more talent on offense, and he can't help out that defense. And I don't think the coaching staff can help him out, and the front office hasn't helped him out. Everybody talks about their personnel management, and the condition of their secondary right now is a travesty. It really is. The depth that they have at the safety position and the players, the quality of players that they have in there right now, it's a travesty. And I think that's what's ultimately going to cost them, you know, a chance to go far this season and, you know, waste yet another outstanding year by, you know, a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, it's, Before I move to the next part, so Sergio Brown after the game made the comment in the locker room that he didn't feel like that was pass interference, and that surprised me a little bit. So you don't take issue with that call?
I don't see how it isn't. You know,
have to call it, right?
Exactly. Even if, say, the ball is uncatchable, it was just so blatantly obvious. I mean, he just ran right into the guy. You know, it was a no-brainer call. As soon as that happened, everybody in the world knew that they were going to throw a flag on that play. And frankly, I think they should have, because he didn't make a play on the ball. He just ran into the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, and that guy has given up a lot of big plays all year round. I don't know, man. To me, the fact that he's just trying to save face, I guess. I mean, clearly his job is protected because they've got nobody else
right
to step in and play for him. So.
I mean, as soon as it happened before the flag, I knew it. I felt like someone had just given me a huge fucking gift right on my lap, because I was like, right. Jesus, they have to call that.
The Arrington play, he was beat off the line. You know, he got back into the play, but he clearly didn't turn around to play the ball.
Right.
So, I mean, and that is, you know, in a sense, you know, he may have saved the touchdown, and at the spot he was in on the field, you know, that didn't hurt him, because they still needed to score a touchdown. You give him first and goal on the 1 yard line. I mean, that pretty much sealed the game right there. So, things. And definitely, I had no problem with the call. I just have a problem with the fact that that's the best they've got at free safety right now.
Right. And, yeah. And I've read this quote that seems to be going around the news. And again, I think it's the same thing with them all calling Eli elite all of a sudden because of one drive. I think it's similar. I think just the media, again, oversimplifying what is – you know, a complex game that has so many things going on in it. This idea that what I keep hearing is Bill Belichick has lost his fastball on defense. And I just don't see – I don't see how that's really possible. I mean, the guy is brilliant, and he has been for years. And I think that – I mean, you know, again, no offense, but I think outside of Brady and Welker, I don't think this is a tremendously talented team. And I think he's getting a lot out of them. But, I mean, when you look at the personnel – particularly when you consider how long Gerard Mayo was out, I don't really see what else people would expect when you look at them on defense from top to bottom.
No, I mean, defensively, like I said, they don't have the horses, and they don't have the playmakers. I mean, they have a lot of guys who are average to decent players who can play in a scheme and can play a solid game, but they're not going to go out there and make, you know, the big third down play. They don't have guys. You don't have the Ty Law, the Asante Samuel. They don't have the Willie McGinnis. They don't have a Rodney Harrison. Guys who really upped their game when it was on the line. This is a team who can keep their offense in the game and play serviceable defense. But when push comes to shove in big pressure situations, they just don't have the players that are able to go out there and rise up to the occasion in the way that they had in the past. I mean, I don't think it's so much the scheme as it is the personnel at all. And clearly on defense, they have struggled mightily in bringing guys in the draft and bringing free agents in. You know, that's really been their downfall as a team, because their strength in the Super Bowl years, the Super Bowl winning years, was really their defense in 2001 and 2003 and 2004. You know, those were not high flying offensive teams. Those weren't Brady's best years as an NFL quarterback. They were, you know, more like, you know, what the New York Jets, you know, aspired to be. It was like a ground and pound and a defensive team that would go out and smack you in the mouth. And, you know, they haven't been able to replace, you know, that edge that they had once on offense or on defense. And you know what? It doesn't look like at this point in the season. I mean, I don't expect at week 10 that all of a sudden they're going to turn it on. You know, right. For as far as I'm concerned, the opportunity for them to gel as a unit and come together has come and gone. And, you know, they already just cut ties with Albert Haynesworth today. and or yesterday. So, you know, that experiment is over. That didn't work out. He was a guy who they brought in to hopefully bring him a little bit of that edge, a little bit of that nastiness. And, you know, they didn't get much out of him. You know, granted, I still don't disagree with that move, but, you know, they have tried and failed. Adalys Thomas, another guy they tried to bring in, didn't work out. You know, so they haven't been able to get that locker room right. They haven't been able to get that unit right. But, you know, they play decent football. I mean, they played decent. They played very well for two quarters, but, you know, New York in the end got the better of them, you know. And just to get back to Eli for a second, you know, I think it is important that it was against New England because to me, the way I remember it, so many people, you know, the comparison between Eli and the other elite quarterbacks in the game, it always seemed to come back to him and Brady. And, you know, I think maybe it's because of the history in 2007, you know, the statistical numbers that Brady has put up over the last few years. You know, he's kind of the guy that Eli, for better or for worse, I guess, his career has been measured against, because still a lot of people want to take that Super Bowl in 2007 and say, you know, that was a fluky win by the Giants. It was all about their defensive line, you know, blah, 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 blah. The Patriots choked, you know, whatever the case may be. So I think this was an important win for him to, you know, kind of establish himself or to put those words that he uttered famously at the beginning of the season about being an elite quarterback. This really kind of gives that story some closure in a way. And, you know, he's played great this year. He is statistically, he is one of the top five quarterbacks in the league this year. And you mentioned it, five come from behind wins or game winning drives. In 9 weeks of the season, for a team that's really struggled with some injuries, you know, a lot of, you know, change up on the offensive line. As a Giants fan, you got to be pretty excited about this. And, you know, maybe people are making a big deal out of it, but I think a lot of people had written him off. You know, I think a lot of people still didn't buy him as an elite quarterback in this league. And, you know, he's in the shadow of his brother, you know. So there's a lot of things working against him in that case. But, you know, the proof's in the pudding. And, I mean, that's I gotta think that that's a good win for the Giants. You know, I would think that would be kind of a nice little momentum builder for you guys going forward here.
Yeah, it really, and he's been unbelievable this year. And I'm, you know, you're right. There's certainly being Peyton's brother doesn't help him out. Certainly that whole draft day issue doesn't help him out. And, you know, there's a lot of people who just don't seem to be buying him. You know, his mannerisms. He's kind of got that shucks thing going on.
Well, he does do this thing that I've noticed. I don't know if you noticed, but a lot of times, like, when he gets pressure, he kind of, like, turns away, like, as he's throwing.
Yep.
And, like, throws off his back foot. And they talked about that a little bit in the game. But it's just something that's funny that I noticed. I mean, he did that on, you know, quite a few of the big plays in that game. But it's just kind of funny looking when you watch it, because you could just imagine him making, like, a strange, effeminate noise when he does that and throws the ball.
Yeah.
You know? But Joe, so that's not helping his case either.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman hate him. And I, you know, I hate Troy Aikman anyways because, well, I mean, I hated him.
I hate Joe Buck, I guess, more than Aikman, but.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like either of them. I hate Aikman more, you know, because he was a Cowboy. He's a very biased announcer and he's very anti-Giants. And all, I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. I, you know, in terms of the kinds of games he's had this year, that wasn't really a great game for Eli. You know, up until the last 4 minutes when he led those two touchdown drives. But still, man, it's like, and I know, you know, his dad came out and said it this week, right? Not, you know, if I'm his dad, I, you know, he needs to shut the fuck up because he's not doing his kid any favors by coming out and saying that. But it is true, man. I mean, we talk about, I have a couple buddies who come over, who watch the Giants every Sunday, and man, he cannot. It doesn't matter how well he's playing. Doesn't matter what kind of numbers he has in that game. Particularly Aikman and Buck, they just pick him apart, man. They pick him apart. all the time, and they don't do it with Vic. They don't do it with Romo. It's just interesting. It's interesting to hear. But listen, I couldn't be happier. And I mean, you're right. It was a huge win. You know, certainly partly because it's New England, and you know, anyone who watches football has a lot of respect for what they do and who they are at home. I mean, even, you know, like I said, it was pretty clear to me watching the game that that's a team that has a lot of major, major personnel holes. And yet, I mean, look how well they play. Look how tough they are to beat. But it's really big because, you know, Giants are 6-2 right now. And I'm finally starting to let myself feel good about it. And, you know, people are suddenly drinking the Kool-Aid. They're 4 in the power rankings in a couple places. And, you know, people are really buying them for the first time. And I see it, but this is also a team that historically has been known to have some second-half collapses, right? I mean, for over the last 5 years, pretty much every year besides the Super Bowl year. And here's what they have left. They have left at 49ers, home against the Eagles, at the Saints, home against the Packers, at the Cowboys, home against Washington, at the Jets, home against the Cowboys.
Brutal.
That, I mean, that's, you know, what, Washington, maybe? That's the only game that it's easy, and that's, you know, that's a team that's already beaten us.
Right. A division game, rivalry game. I mean, that's like the antithesis of the Patriots schedule going forward.
Yeah. And things just
That's
really
a tough stretch. I mean, so you're going to see very quickly, I guess.
Who they are.
Exactly. I mean, this was a big win for them, but, you know, I think Bradshaw, has he been ruled out for next week? He's still out of practice?
Not definitely yet. I mean, you know, there's Coughlin's very cryptic. Coughlin always says, you know, he's improving. We don't know for sure yet. He's got a fractured bone in his foot. It's the same foot he had surgically repaired. Sounds like Hakeem Nicks is definitely a go. But, you know, and Bradshaw will be back eventually. I mean, he's a guy who has played with pretty bad ankle and foot injuries every year and still put up big numbers. But, you know, this was – I mean, this schedule was something that really – I mean, at the beginning of the year when the injuries are happening and, you know, OCU Mignora has the holdout and then he's having surgery, you know, you also look at this and you say, well, shit, man, not in addition to having to play the AFC East, which I already feared because of the Jets and Patriots. I didn't know Buffalo was also going to be good.
Yeah.
You know, in addition to that, we've got the, you know, because in fluky fashion last year, the Buccaneers won the NFC South and the Bears won the NFC North. We get our two random games against the teams and, you know, the random divisions who finish the same as us are against the Saints and the Packers because they both finished second in their division last year. And, you know, when this is all said and done, all of these things that happened might end up being a blessing in disguise. I mean, certainly Jerry Reese deserves a lot of credit, and there's a lot of talk this week for sticking with his plan, not panicking, not bringing in, you know, not going after the Plaxico Burress, not going after, you know, basically not panicking and giving away draft picks, giving away money. He's believing in the guys he's drafting. And, you know, I mean, it's working. Look, I mean, Aaron Ross, I complain about him. You could do a hell of a lot worse for a guy stepping in to fill a hole at cornerback. You know, Deion Grant, I've been complaining about all year. Again, you could do a lot worse for a guy who's got to step in and play nickelback.
And he played great on Sunday. Victor, had a very good game.
He did. Victor Cruz, we've talked about him ad nauseum. I mean, even Ramses Barden was back in his first game, and he had a couple nice catches. And then, you know, the plan on defense, I think, you know, it's hard not to feel good. That was our first game with all of our defensive line intact. And, you know, I mean, I felt like they disrupted the Patriots' rhythm on offense, at least a little bit, you know. I mean,
a couple sacks, you know, Brady was definitely feeling the pressure there on at least a handful of occasions.
And Pierre Paul already has 9.5. And Umanyora,
he's really developed quite nicely. I mean, I think people expected a lot from him right out of the gate. But, you know, what is this, his third season? Third or fourth season?
Second.
This is only his second season?
Second season.
Man, I'm losing my fucking grip, man.
Two losses in a row will do that to you.
Dude, up is down. Yes is no.
Oh,
no is yes. I don't know.
But 9.5 sacks for him. Yu Minyora has 6 sacks in 5 games. Tuck is the best player on that D-line, and he's just getting back healthy now. And then, you know, talk about, again, the team having faith in a guy. I mean, I'm sure you must know this guy Sunday, not cutting Matthias Kiwanuka despite his injury problems, despite his, at times, difficulty picking up linebacker. And now we've got this weapon who can play linebacker and who's in, you know, can also be moved to the end. And he's just terrorizing teams. He was the NFC Defensive Player of the Week this week. And I really feel good. And I'm nervous because not only do I know they could collapse, but I know the schedule is also extremely difficult. But, I mean, you know, outsider's perspective, I got to have some reason to feel good, right?
Absolutely. You know, I feel like I got the sense that the Giants are a team that's very much coming together. They have, I feel like they have much more of an identity than the Patriots do, you know, on defense. You know, they've got that great defensive line. Everybody's healthy now. They're playing together. They've got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder because everybody had written them off before the season. And I know that's one of those things that won't show up in the statistics, but I don't think you can really, I don't think that's something that should be underestimated is, you know, the cohesion of a team and being able to rally together. You know, certainly the fact that Eli has played so well in clutch situations and that offense has stepped up. You've had guys stepping up, you know, Victor Cruz, again, we'll throw that name out there, but you know, as their receiving core, which is, you know, one of the best in the league, I think, you know, from top to bottom has, you know, they've gone in and out of health. I mean, you've had a lot of guys step up. I mean, look at the tight end situation. That guy Ballard had a great game, and that was going to be a huge hole with the departure of Kevin Boss that everybody said they weren't going to be able to fill in house. And it looks like they have for sure. I mean, so I think from an outside perspective, I watch that game and I say, this Giants team is a team that's tough. You know, they've overcome a lot this season, and you know, it looks to me like they're playing well when they need to, and they have a lot of confidence. You know, with a minute 15 left and down a touchdown basically on the road, you know, they made that look, you know, somewhat easy, you know, and a lot of teams would crumble under that type of situation. And, you know, I wish I felt that way about the Patriots, but, you know, I just have this terrible sinking feeling about this. Like I'm watching, you know, the beginning of the long descent into mediocrity, and, you know, it's painful to watch because there are some people that if you look at like Brady and Welker and, you know, those two guys as an example, I mean, they're playing so well. They're probably having, you know, the best years, one of the best years of their career, you know, easily. And, you know, and you just get the sense that it's not going to be enough and that, you know, they're not going to be able to carry this team, you know, far. And, you know, even though the schedule's easy in the next 7 weeks for this team, on paper, they could lose 2 games and be out of the playoffs. They lose to New York on Sunday and they lose to Buffalo in week 17. There's a good chance that they won't make the playoffs because they're all tied up at 5-3, all three of those teams right now in the AFC East. And, you know, I just don't have a great feeling about this team going forward. I don't think they're built to win in the playoffs. I think that they can be exposed very easily. And, you know, it's just a shitty feeling, man. It's like, and then you start to look back, like I was saying, and you see like how good Brady played over the last 3 or 4 years when he was healthy. And you just kind of realize that, you know, those were the years of real opportunity. And, you know, right now I just don't have any faith in the defense to stop a solid playoff team. In the last 2 weeks, you've seen that they haven't been able to do that. And the offense isn't enough to win the game. I mean, the offense wasn't enough in 2007. You know, they needed the defense to make a couple more plays, and they couldn't do it. So, yeah, it's a tough time, man. It's a tough time for me right now. I don't know if other Patriots fans feel this way. You know, I mean, this Albert Haynesworth thing is not even like a blip on the radar. Like, as far as I'm concerned, that's really a non-story because, you know, I said at the beginning of the year, it was worth a shot to take that they took on this guy. It ended up costing him $750,000 since Tampa Bay just picked him up and is going to pay the other half of his salary. It was, you know, it was a low risk and in the end, a low reward situation, but it was worth a chance. It's just the fact that these are the kind of chances that this team has been forced into taking, you know, hoping that Ocho Cinco will become a number one receiver here in this offense, you know, hoping Albert Haynesworth will somehow just out of the blue miraculously revive his career and all of a sudden really care about playing hard every play and fitting in with the team. That's what we are now left to cling to while, you know, a Hall of Fame player is just kind of toiling away, you know, without anybody, without an entire team around him, you know. I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting too philosophical. It's just a feeling that I have. Like in a couple years from now, you know, like things are going to be really shitty, and I'm going to look back and be like, wow, that was kind of it. Like that was the high watermark of this franchise. Like this, like, you know, you can look back in perspective and you can just see like how the wave crested in 2007. And it's just been, you know, this slow receding wave of water, you know, pulling back along the beach, just revealing all these like old used condoms and pieces of seaweed and fucking trash and cigarette butts. And then it's low tide and it just smells like shit. And you're just left standing there swatting the green heads.
It is true, man. It's interesting how we, you know, when our teams go through this period of, you know, having some really good players and some success. And, man, we just think our teams are so well run and you know, just fucking the greatest
shit. The blinders go on, man. I'm telling you. And it's like you can't expect, you know, there's a reason why a team winning 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, you know, maybe happens once a decade. And it's usually not the same franchise that does it, you know, that goes on one of these real big runs, you know. There's a cyclical nature to all of this, you mm-hmm. know. But it's once you get inside of it, man, it's so good. You just don't want to let go. I mean, it's and you know, in New England, it's like people have forgotten that it's been 7 years since they won a championship, but it just feels like it almost feels like they've won championships, you know, because of the success that they had and because they've been so close. But, you know, it's like every year they're just getting a little bit further and further away. And eventually, you know, there's not going to be a Tom Brady anymore. And eventually there's not going to be a Bill Belichick. And, you know, and then what do you do, man?
But, you know, that works out because, you know, like we right now, Giants and Patriots are so well run. Celtics are so well run. We forget. I mean, the Patriots have definitely sucked for at least half of your life, you know?
Oh, yeah, at least. I mean, the fact that they went to the Super Bowl in 97, I guess people forget about it in a sense because, you know, your memory gets clouded by the success they had in the beginning of the 21st century. But, yeah, I mean, it was – that was surprising. Those are the years where you're like, wow, this team made it to the Super Bowl. That's a victory in and of itself. And then you kind of get wrapped up in expecting a championship every year, which I think you really kind of need to as a fan, you know, otherwise, right. I guess, you know, you need to reevaluate the team that you're rooting for, I guess. But,
yeah. You know, I mean, I grew up
you get so involved and you get so wrapped up in it. And then you're like, wait, it's going away. Like, you know, there's going to be seasons here shortly where it's not going to be a guarantee that they're going to win their division, or it's not going to be a guarantee that they're going to have a good chance to win their division. I mean,
yeah,
shit, man.
Yeah. And you
know, I'm just trying to prepare myself for that because I don't know, you know, it's been so long. We've had so much success. And I mean, would you trade it? No, I don't think I would trade those three Super Bowls, you know, so that they were a little bit better right now. But it's hard right now, man. I'm trying to live in the moment, and the moment is just feeling like, you know, someone's kicking me in the dick.
I mean, you know, Giants growing up, I mean, Christ, Dave Brown, Kent Graham, Danny Cannell, these are the quarterbacks. You know, the Super Bowl we went to in 2001 against the Ravens, 2000-2001 season, all I remember thinking is, how the fuck are we in this game? How did we in the Super Bowl? I mean, Christ, the Vikings were 15-1, and they were supposed to kick the shit out of us in the NFC Championship game, and somehow we kicked the shit out of them. And I was going to that Super Bowl saying, holy shit, we're in the Super Bowl. What the fuck happened? Never thinking in my mind there was a chance for them to win. And now, and Christ, we've only won one, and we win one in 08, and I still feel like, wow, what a great franchise. Well, they're so well run because we won the Super Bowl in 07, 08. Fucking Celtics won one championship and, you know, have a few years with Kevin Garnett, and we're saying, what a well-run franchise. They have not done shit the entire rest of our lives, right? 2002, no. I mean, you know, come on. That was a JV Eastern Conference playoff to see who was going to get swept by the Lakers. And yet, man, you know, right now we feel like our teams are the shit. So, you know, you'll manage, man. I mean, you know, I know you. You'll still watch. You'll still enjoy it. It just – but I know what you feel like because I couldn't help thinking that same thing on Sunday. I mean, this is – one of the greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, he doesn't need an elite defense. He doesn't need the Baltimore Ravens defense. He just needs a top 15 defense.
Yeah, I mean, and, like, my buddy Ladd called me up because he's a big Patriots fan too. And we both needed to vent, you know, for like 15, 20 minutes after that game. And, you know, even if the Patriots just had fucking 10 players on that last pass interference play, like, even if they just had 10 players and Sergio Brown wasn't on the field, there was nobody there to just run into Victor Cruz at the one-yard line, they would have been better off, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he still wouldn't have caught that ball, you know? It's just like, you know, and that's just the sad part is when you see somebody as great as Tom Brady. And, I mean, that's the beauty of the game, right? Because it's a team game and it takes 22 players to win. But it's so frustrating when you've got such a great player who takes your team and drives right down the field, you know, goes ahead by 4 points and says, all you guys got to do is keep them out of the end zone in the next minute and 15 seconds. And this game's won. And they can't do it, you know? And then, like, that's the beauty of the game, right? Because if it was just all about the offense, then it wouldn't be very interesting. And Peyton Manning would have 12 Super Bowl championships and, you know, and the Patriots would have won in 07. But that's not the way it's played. It's just, you know, it's all right. I mean, I guess the feeling that I have is that this team's going to be – the Patriots are going to have a good run of games just simply – by the fact that their opponents coming up in the next 5 or 6 weeks, with the exception of Buffalo and New York, are, you know, mediocre to average teams at best, with, you know, not great defenses that I think the Patriots can exploit enough on offense to give them a big enough cushion where their defense won't hurt them too badly. But I you know, it's like there's an inevitable feeling that, you know, no matter how this team gets into the playoffs, I don't think they're going to beat New York in the playoffs. I don't think they would beat Baltimore in the playoffs. I don't think they would beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs.
What about Cincinnati?
I don't think they could beat Cincinnati, man. I mean,
tied for the best record in the conference.
I mean, that's going to be a great game this weekend, Pittsburgh, yeah. Cincinnati. I mean, that'll be something worth watching right there. But because you know, there's something that sucks so bad about, like, getting into the playoffs. Like, the Patriots have the last couple of years when they went in last year, 14-2, into the playoffs, and then just got their asses kicked by the Jets. And then 2 years before that, when they got, you know, just smacked around by the Ravens and they're heavily favored, you know, those are the worst, man. Those are the worst losses. It's not like when you get in and you don't expect to win and you play a team tough and you come up with a loss, that's fine. But when you're the favorite and you've played so well throughout the regular season, and then all of a sudden you get to the playoffs and it's like they pull the cloak off your head and you're just like just this hideous, deformed, mutant pussy, and you just get dominated by this team that you fucking hate and who you kick their ass in the regular season, and they're just, you know, dancing on your field. It just sucks, man. It just sucks.
Did you just break a glass?
Damn it. Just that's what's going to happen. I know it. We're going to make a good run here. We're probably going to go in there like 12-4 or something like that, and we're going to get our fucking asses kicked in the playoffs because this team is not good enough to win deep into the postseason. And it's going to be another year gone. Brady's going to be 35. He's going to be having all kinds of fucking cologne advertisement opportunities. It's going to be a little bit less appealing for him to come back. There's going to be many more water slides available to him. And it's just going to be like, well, you know what? You know, I don't know how I'm going to make it, man. I don't know how I'm going to make it because there's just an impending feeling of doom.
I will say a testament to how good he is the fact that I assume this stat hasn't changed. If it hasn't, not much. They entered that game against the Giants being the worst team in the league defensively, giving up 424 yards a game, being also the worst team specifically against the pass. You know, I mean, to be 32nd in the league in overall defense and to have a winning record and to be thought of as one of the best teams in the league again, I think that just speaks to what a good quarterback he is.
Oh, yeah. There's no debating that. You know, there's no debating that whatsoever. It's just a shame that they've, you know, haven't been able to put the pieces in on defense, you know. That's the part that's the most frustrating. And I think that's going to be their downfall. It's their Achilles heel. But
Can I offer up two more quick thoughts on the Giants?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so my first thought is just, you know, in a way I think that the fact that they have so many difficult games on the schedule could really benefit them come the playoffs. The fact that, you know, when they played Buffalo, that was a tough game that they had to pull out by three. You know, the fact that they've already beaten Philly on the road, the fact that that New England game at New England, tough game that you gotta, you know, you gotta overcome the obstacles for. And I really think Coughlin, you know, for issues that they've had in the past with his relationship with players, I think for this group in this situation, he's the absolute perfect coach. I think he's very even-keeled. He doesn't change a whole lot. He's got the high expectations, and they're for everyone, regardless of their role in the team, and they don't change. And, you know, the way that he was just sort of so calm when all this shit went wrong at the start of the year, they didn't change a fucking thing that they did. He did not change the expectations. And the way that he's just always so focused on, you know, don't worry about what everyone's saying. Just worry about what's happening on the next play. You know, what's happening on the next play? Who are we playing next? And I don't know if you saw the clip after the game. They were pretty pumped in the locker room. And Brandon Jacobs, who's butted heads with them a lot, had Coughlin lifted up in the air. And you know, it's, I don't know, there's something going on with that chemistry that, again, if it weren't for the history of second half collapses, I would be feeling over the top good about right now. And the second thing is, you know, I feel very strongly about having a high quality punter. Jeff Fiegels is one of my favorite Giants of all time. One of my favorite football players of all time. And Weatherford, man, what a fucking welcome change from Matt Dodge last year. Every game, I used to punch myself in the nuts because I'd be so mad about Matt Dodge. I mean, he was a huge difference in that game. I mean, back and forth, that nothing-nothing first half. You know, always Patriots starting on a really long field, and it's just nice to know, you know, if the defense does their job, or, if the defense does their job, that we're going to be winning the field position battle because we don't have to worry about that fucking bullshit from last year in the punty game. Yep. So those are just two thoughts anyways.
Well, I think you should be excited, man. I think, you know, we talked at the beginning of the season about tempering your expectations for the year, given the injuries everything else. But I think you should really just enjoy this ride that this team's going to go on. I mean, it's going to be a tough stretch over the next couple of weeks, and you're really going to, you know, get a chance to see what they're made of. But, you know, you got to like the way things are going right now, considering the adversity that they've been handed.
What do you make of that game against the Niners this week? I'm going to be there in person. Just ordered a nice
I saw the headband
today.
Man, it looks wonderful. Looks really wonderful.
It's pretty sweet. Niners are favored by 3.5, being the home team. You know, 7-1, number 2 in a lot of the power rankings. People aren't necessarily, you know, obviously the experts are ranking them high, but people still seem to have some questions. It's going to be a pretty interesting game, I think.
Yeah, I mean, San Francisco is kind of in the same boat as Detroit, just because they've sucked for so long. Like, people aren't going to believe that they're legit teams until they win a playoff game, I don't think. Even as well as they played, I think this is going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a good game. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if San Francisco pulls it out with the home field advantage. The question I have is, will you be putting any sort of shiv or sharp implement, you know, underneath that headband to protect yourself in the stands on Sunday?
I'm thinking about maybe trying, instead of a weapon, maybe just some kind of you know, Kevlar vest, some type.
You're
of...
just gonna go for just straight up protection, as opposed to any sort of self-defense.
Yeah.
You're just hoping that they don't, like, hit you in the eyeball or something. They're going to go for your torso and just strictly stick to the torso area.
I mean, hopefully, you know, they say that, you know, the danger in carrying a weapon for self-defense is that you should not use it unless you are prepared to defend against it being used on you. And I've never been trained in defending against a shiv attack. And so I think, you know, straight up, anything that can stop a bullet that I can find will be on my person this Sunday. I might stop by Oakland. There seems, I don't know if you've seen, it's all over the news the past few weeks. The Occupy Oakland's happening, and the police are out there every night with their riot gear. They look like stormtroopers, yep. And they're shooting tear gas and rubber bullets and whatnot.
So you're going to go down there for, like, a practice run?
Yeah, maybe I can.
So, like, if you can survive, like, a 20 minutes with the Occupy Oakland crowd, and then you should be able to handle waiting in line for a sausage.
Yeah, well, while wearing a Giants headband. I mean, maybe I could actually get some of that gear, because it seems like those helmets would be the ideal headwear.
I think it's kind of like prison. Like, when you get there, you need to find the other Giants fans, and you need to, like, you know, you need to make peace with them first, so that you, like, at least have some people there to, like, you know, so you guys can have each other's backs if push comes to shove. You need to, like, you know, you need to identify the fellow New York fans and perhaps think about forming some sort of circle, you know, so that nobody's back is exposed at any time.
I'll be with 6 or 7 of them.
That's smart.
First thing you had to do was make someone your bitch.
Well, you could always try that, I guess. But
that could be
I can't imagine you forcing anybody's head into your gold bond powdered crotch.
Yeah, and you know, it'd be super awkward if it's the wrong person, right? Like, if I try to make someone my bitch, and it turns out that they weren't going to be problem in the first place, you know? Or if it's like a parent of a child and I don't see the child behind them.
That would be terrible. I mean, anytime you bring a child into the mix, that's terrible. And or you know, even worst case, that you try to make somebody your bitch, and then they turn around and make you their bitch.
Right.
And they're, like, extra mean to you because they know that you were trying to make them your bitch.
Right.
Time.
Because it could be their first day at Candlestick Park as well.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, who knows how often the Giants fans get out there. So, I don't know, man. Good luck to you, because that shit looks crazy out there.
Well, it'll be a good warm-up, because they did not play at Oakland last year, and I got four more years out here, so they will definitely be. Oh no, I guess Oakland could be playing there. Well, they could hopefully be playing at Oakland, in which case I'm really going to need to be prepared. So this will be a nice little warm up. You know, deal with the hostile crowds. I have gone to a Celtics Warriors game in full Celtics gear, but the arena ended up being about 65% Celtics fans. So I think that this will be a little bit different. Oakland is the hardest place because, you know, most people who live in Oakland are from Oakland. And most people, San Francisco is a transplant city. So, yep. You know, we'll have to see. It should be interesting. But I would, man, this would be, God, if the Giants can pull this one out, it would be, these two wins would do so much for my confidence in them at New England, at San Francisco. This would be fucking huge, man.
Yeah, but maybe too much too soon.
Maybe.
I just wanted to say that. I don't know.
You're really thinking deeply today.
Dude, I don't know, man. You become a father or a parent, and it changes your whole perspective on shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true, man. Maybe that's what it is. Your hormones are running wild.
Yeah, that's right. I'm eating for two. I'm getting all fucking emotional. It's terrible. It's sympathy pregnancy is what it is. It's a real condition, too.
Is your wife eating a lot of pickles?
No, nothing weird. Although she did really get into bacon for the first time in her life. She really enjoys bacon now. But nothing too strange that I've noticed so far.
See, that to me seems like it could have potential to be the best part if your wife starts demanding all kinds of food and you have to sort of
partake. All of a sudden, it's like being back in college with like that one crazy stoner friend who's like making, you know, putting peanut butter on everything.
Right.
And, you know, like ramen noodles, you know, taking like two halves of a raw ramen noodle thing and like spreading peanut butter in between and then putting like jelly and then some Starburst in there and then eating it, you know, stuff like that. But I haven't seen anything like that yet out of this whole situation. So
maybe you need to start dropping hints. You should mention the words Panda and Express as many times as you can whenever she's around, and she might start craving Panda Express all the time, man. And you could just be lapping up orange chicken every night.
Lapping up orange chicken. Yeah, it doesn't sound too bad.
Oh, well, man, how do you feel? Do you feel cleansed?
I feel better. You know, I guess we'll have to check in next week because I could be in like some just terrible pit of despair, you know, after this weekend. But maybe not. Maybe I'll just, you know. I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on. It's a very strange time. It's a very strange time for a fan of the Patriots.
Yeah. You know, well, if you hear about any shootings at the Niners games, be sure to check the news story for names.
Yeah, and text me like some pictures from inside the park because I want to see what's doing. You know, just have your cell phone on in case you do get attacked because if nothing else, there could be some unintentional comedy value.
Yeah.
YouTube that, yep. You know, good
Facebook. When I get it out of my pocket, I'll be sure to go nice and slow and pull it out very slowly so that nobody thinks I have a gun. Because a guy on the BART train a few weeks ago was shot and killed by a BART police officer because he was reaching in his pocket really quickly. So that's good.
On that note.
All right, man.
Look at cell phones, man.
Yeah. Fuck it, A. All right, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have a good night.
And same to you, my friends.
All right. I'm going to take that feeling and you're far behind. And as I go down this path, travel through life. And I'm
Thank you.